This is Perry Marshall. I'm here with Finn Peacock. And Finn is an engineer from Australia who's come up through the ranks, and he's really done very, very well. He built up a business, quit his job. He's kind of cornered the market in his primary business, and he started wanting to get into other things, and so he's kind of become a serial entrepreneur, and he is now building another business on top of the first one, which is doing extremely well, too. And so you'll hear that story, and there's actually several things that we're going to talk about in this call. He is going to talk about some things that motivated him to leave his Dilbert Cube job, even though when he embarked on this journey, I'm not really sure that that's what he was trying to do. We're going to talk about something that he did to quadruple his business very quickly, and you'll get that strategy. Then he'll talk about how he 4X'd it again. He's going to talk about, a little later in the call, we're going to get into an interesting nuance about what it means to talk to customers exactly right versus getting things a little off. And without any further ado, Finn, welcome.
Thank you very much, Perry.
It's really good to have you here, and you know, I just love it when people, you know, make these big transitions and do them successfully. So, you know, you have a lot to be proud of, actually.
Wow, it feels good. It feels good. Waking up in the morning and not having to commute
is
a good thing.
A person could get used to it.
That's right.
So let's just dive right in. Finn, could you tell everybody, like, briefly, like, what's your career background, and, you know, how did you end up doing that, and, you know, where does this story start?
Okay. Basically, my trade, if you like, is I'm a chartered electrical engineer, so I've got an engineering degree. I worked for 10, 12 years as a control systems engineer, which is or an automation engineer, so that's designing the control systems, software, hardware that controls factories and oil rigs and stuff like that. That was my career for about 12 years, basically.
And did you kind of assume that that's the sort of thing you were going to be doing the rest of your life, or did you have other hankerings, or what was that like?
I thought initially I'd do it for the rest of my life, but, you know, after a decade in the game, I kind of got hankering for something different. I did quite well as an engineer. I got to be a senior engineer and, you know, earning a decent salary. But then they pound of flesh when they start paying you good money, you know?
Yeah.
And, you do some amazing work, and you're lining other people's pockets, and you're working your butt off. And for every extra $1,000 on your salary, you've really got to beg for it. So it reached the stage where I was hankering for something different, really. So there was a glint in my eye that I wanted to do my own thing. Wasn't quite sure how to do it or where to start. I had a few false starts. I tried to start my own business about 5 years ago. I failed miserably. Went back to...
Tell us a little bit about that. I want to hear that story.
Okay, so basically I was reading an engineering magazine, not very exciting things really, and there was this business in the UK that had brought out this new software basically for making people's factories run a bit smoother, and I thought this looked really good. And I thought, you know what, they're a new company, I bet they haven't got an Australian distributor, I reckon I could sell that in Australia.
Mm.
So quit my job, contacted these people first. They said, yeah, give it a go in Australia. Tried to basically try to halt this software around Australia using, cold calling and all that traditional sales tools. Failed miserably.
Okay.
Got a bit of a fright and went back to my day job.
You basically tried some version of being a manufacturer's rep or distributor and...
Yes.
You threw yourself in the lake and tried to swim, and it didn't really work out.
Got some scars, Terry. But it was that was the thing that made me realize that there was a different world out there. And although my first attempts haven't been very successful, it got me into looking at the internet marketing because I tried to sell it that way, and just got the whole internet marketing thing on my radar really.
So, my recollection is that you and I ran into each other because you were trying to figure out how to do your corporate stuff better.
Yeah, that's right. So my wife got pregnant actually, and my business was failing miserably. So I went back to the day job kind of was in quite a senior role there and was asked to handle some of the sales and marketing for a control systems engineering company. So selling, quite high-end, high big-ticket items, you don't really start a job unless it's $50,000. They were using all the standard corporate marketing, big glossy adverts with a picture of a man in a suit staring at the sky.
Doesn't that just make you want to buy stuff?
Yeah, that's right. And I thought, I thought there's got to be a better way to sell this stuff because it just didn't seem a very good way to sell to engineers to me. So yeah, I came across your B2B marketing kit, your guerrilla marketing kit. Persuaded my boss to buy me the platinum version of that, which included a couple of consulting calls.
And I remember a couple of those.
Related into Planet Perry.
Yeah, I remember a couple of those consulting calls, and it was interesting because we'd been in very similar industry, actually.
Yeah, well, you spent most of the consulting calls persuading me to leave my day job one day and learn your system on the company's dime, which is what happened 3 years later, two, 3 years later.
So what was the frustration that you were having that caused you to go looking for something?
The first thing was, my boss was telling me to get on the phone, cold call people, and that didn't seem like a very smart way to be spending my time. Plus, it's pretty demoralizing talking to these robust engineers that basically haven't got time to take a phone call off a guy trying to sell them services. They'd spend $10,000 on one advert in a magazine. Like I say, it would just be a picture of a guy in a suit looking at the sky. And it didn't, got virtually no response. And I just thought there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
Isn't that where all the, great things start? Surely there's some other way to do this than this. So here you are, and can you explain what kind of reaction that you got from your superiors when you started trying to actually do what we do here?
Okay, I mean the two main things that stuck out from that course were A, lead generation, which made a lot of sense to me. Getting people to call me instead of me calling them. But the real biggie that's kind of basically changed my whole life really is. Does that sound corny? It's true. is the language you use and the way you write and the way the way you talk to people like they talk to each other, and the conversational tone, informal conversational tone, which is the opposite of how most senior managers want to write their marketing material. I think down to ego and basically fear of other people, fear of being different, and other companies. Turning around and saying, well, look at these people. They write differently to us. And so it was the conversational tone and the style of writing.
So I always tell people, talk to your customers the way they talk to each other and themselves.
Yep.
And you tried to do that.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I did try. The very first thing I did was we were going for a big national engineering competition for one of the jobs we've done that had been very successful. That was my first piece of marketing material, if you like, in Perry speak, for want of a better word. So I wrote this 10-page submission in very, very informal language, but very easy to read. Showed it to my boss, and he hated it. He said, "Finn, if we submit this, we will be the laughing stock of the industry."
There's a certain kind of corporate personality that always kind of recoils against that.
I mean, the thing is, this guy was a great guy. He was he was very down to earth when, you know, in general conversation or, you know, informal emails. But as soon as he put on his corporate hat, it was no. I've got to speak completely differently when I'm you know representing the company. The funny thing is, I submitted this entry anyway to this competition, and it won.
And now, how did you, like, did you just disobey him, or did you find some other way?
I just disobeyed him.
Wow. So how did that go over?
The fact that we won it, kind of, everyone forgot about the fact that I'd kind of been told to change it before I submitted it.
Wow.
Me and the managing director all flew down to this big do and won this award, and everyone was really very happy. But, I mean, it was... The reaction was, you know, well done, Finn, you know, but we think you lucked out, so just don't do it again, okay?
Well, you know, they gotta shrug it off somehow, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what happened after that? This kind of changed your point of view about some things.
Well, yeah, it did, and I mean, this company, one of the ways they earned good money was selling training courses, and I saw that you had sold a training course through a sales letter in your previous Dilbert Cube job. So I wrote a sales letter for this training course, and you know, they said we should mail this out. You know, get a list, mail it out, because we were struggling to recruit people. And they said, look, again, we can't send that out, and it just died at death. So I started to get very frustrated because, you know, I was writing these great sales letters, but I thought they were okay, and I just banging my head against the brick wall. I mean, literally, the word they used was, they said, look, I know we talk to our clients like that when we get in front of them. I know they talk to each other like that, but when we're marketing ourselves, we want to come, and this is the word they used, they said, we want to come across as slightly snobby. And I thought, yeah, that'll endear us to the customer. So I decided, well, I'll try and do it myself. I'll create my own training course and try and sell it, you know, using Perry's technique.
So how did you do that? Now we're in the meat of the story.
How did I do that?
Yeah. Like, did you do this part-time on the side? Did you quit your job? And just, how did you do it?
I did it on the side, basically. So I was working for that company. I got really frustrated and actually quit that company and started with another company. You won't believe this, but I actually became a public servant for about 8 months.
Okay. Like.
So I quit the engineering company and went to it was a research lab. It was a government research lab next door.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I actually had a lot more time on my hands, because I kind of diligently used the 80-20 principle to get everything I needed to get done in the first couple of hours.
That's always a good habit to cultivate.
Yeah, I'd get in at 7:30 a.m. and by the time everyone else rocked up at 9:30, I'd done everything I needed to do in order to achieve what had been asked of me. So I had a lot of space to think. By the time I got home from work, my mind was ready to sit down and start creating this product, basically. And I did it on the side. Proved. So started advertising on AdWords, proved that for every dollar I spent on AdWords, I could get, you know, $5 to $10 back. And although I wasn't, you know, I wasn't making a huge income, it wasn't going to feed their family or anything, I proved to myself that I could, you know, put a product out there that people wanted to buy. And I knew that if I just had, if I could ramp the traffic up and increase my conversions, it could be a goer, you know?
I think every beginner has that first thing where it might be a tiny little product or a tiny little market, but you get it to work. You put $10 in and you get $50 out, you know? And that, what did it feel like when you got?
I was in Canberra, which is the capital of the city of Australia, doing some, with work. And, I think we put the website up the night before. My wife rang me. I said, "Finn, you won't believe this." I said, "What?" She said, "Someone just bought your ebook." And I was jumping around my hotel room, I tell you. I think that's what a lot of people say, that they never forget your first sale.
Oh yeah, I remember mine. I was in a Kinko's in Simi Valley, California, I think it was, and my first order came in. That's, yeah, it was a huge deal.
I just could not believe that someone had paid me $97 for, you know, information. And, you know, you get racked with self-doubt that they're going to immediately demand a refund. You know?
Can I say something about that? Everybody fights with that regardless of how good it is or anything.
Yeah.
It's even more true if you sell an information product than if you sell a physical product. Because most people who sell physical products online, they've already sold it to somebody else before offline, or it's not even theirs. They don't have their ego all tied up into it. But when it's your materials and you write it or you create it, you feel very self-conscious. And everybody is afraid that the whole world is going to discover they're a fraud.
Yes, absolutely.
And I remember I had this conversation with John Paul Mendoza. He's one of my buddies, and he kind of helps me fix my head every now and then. And it was just before one of my seminars. And I'm like, the seminar's about to start, and, you know, I'm having this talk with John. I'm like, "John, I'm just edgy." And he's like, "Yeah, you're afraid that you're going to, you know, you're going to give this seminar, and somebody's going to stand up and say, 'Perry Marshall, you're a fraud.'" Right? And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess." And he's like, "Okay, Perry." He goes, he looks at me and he goes, "Perry Marshall, you're a fraud." He goes, "How does that feel?" And I go, "I guess it feels okay." And I go, he goes, "Go, you know, go get him, Tiger." So, you know, I walk out there and it was great and everybody loved it, you know. So, I totally know that feeling. And I think, maybe we don't always just acknowledge that hesitation is there for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So here you are. You got a sale.
Yeah.
Now what?
Then I got another sale. Look, I mean, we weren't making enough to quit my job or even feed the family, but it was a nice second income. And I was getting back something like $10 for every dollar I spent on AdWords. And that was good. I mean, it's a very small niche, so it's not like I could just throw more money at AdWords and get more traffic. So
it's about PID tuning, which only certain kinds of an engineer would understand what that is. But it just goes to show you, you just got this from your own work experience, right?
Yeah, and I knew when I first started out as an engineer, I remember thinking it being an absolute blackout to me. And then it was, you know, over 10 years, I kind of picked up the best way to do it and realized that actually it's kind of like most things. You've got the information. It's really not that difficult. And like, you know, I think like most consulting industries, there's a, you know, the highly paid consultants to get a couple of grand a day, try to pretend that they've got some secret sauce that no one else has got. And it's just not true.
Basically, wouldn't you just say that you had become the guy at the company who knew how to do this certain kind of thing, and if somebody needed that problem to be solved, you were the guy they came to solve it? True?
There's quite a few guys that knew how to do it.
Huh.
It's just everyone else tried to pretend it was they could do it because they were super intelligent and had an engineering degree from a good university, and I was kind of saying, no, it's just applying a kind of recipe, really. It's really not that difficult. And that's the feedback I'm getting. I mean, I didn't actually dare ask for a testimonial for about 12 months. So I'm still convinced that people were going to say, oh, I can't believe I blew my money on this piece of crap. But when I did finally dare to ask for testimonials, it kind of unleashed this torrent of people saying, thank you, using simple language to describe, you know, a relatively complicated process. I understand it at last. You get this in a lot of industries, but a lot of people will spend 20 years in control engineering and never really understand how a PID loop, which is this system, works, because all the books are full of the author's ego and full of these algebraic equations, but you don't actually need to understand these equations to know how it works. You just need some analogies, and that's what I did. I created simple analogies and very simple equations for anyone, almost anyone could follow to describe it. And yeah, I have guys saying, I've been in control engineering for 20 years and finally I understand how a PID loop works. It felt great. And the other thing is that I think the other reason the book goes down so well is that I wrote it in, you know, the informal language that you teach. And so it's readable, and people can read it, and they actually enjoy reading it. You know, I get feedback saying, wow, an engineering textbook that I actually enjoy reading. It's like you're talking to me. That was another thing someone said the other day.
Well, those things are all real gratifying. And really, people on the Internet generally won't pay money for something they don't understand.
No.
I think the Internet has kind of created this expectation that information has to be digestible and make sense, and the Internet is very informal, and this is what needs to happen. And there's just, you know, textbooks and colleges, and they're 20 years behind this idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it helps for other industries, but if there's any, you know, any engineers listening, or you're in an industry and there's a skill that requires, you know, people charge for, you know, 3-day training courses or to go on, and it seems like a bit of a black art. If you can, you know, just sit down and write a readable summary of that explains the basic principles, you know, you've got an information product that people, you know, will pay good money for.
So what was your next breakthrough?
The next breakthrough, okay, so I was working at this government research lab, and I'm not really, I'm kind of the anti-bureaucrat, so that didn't work very well. So I quit that in the end. And I really, I knew I could make a dollar profit, and I really wanted to, you know, get this internet business. I wanted to work for myself and get the internet business working, so... I said to my wife, I said, look, we needed to move across Australia anyway, so this about 2,000 k's away for family reasons. And so I said, look, I've quit my job, we'll sell a house, and I need to concentrate on ramping this business up. So how do you feel about we go camping for 3 months? Because then I won't be distracted by TV or, you know, cleaning the garage. Bear in mind, she was heavily pregnant and we had 2 kids under 2. But no, so we sold the house, and we went camping. We decided to drive from Sydney to Adelaide, which is about 2,000 kilometres, and camp along the way. It took 3 months to do it. It was summer, so it was beautiful weather. And before I'd done that, you sent out an email, a free email, with an audio recording of one of your four-man intensives. And what you... One of the highlights of that was you were suggesting to a guy... but who just, I think, had one product. He said it's a good technique to, massively increase your sales is to have one product at, you know, your original price, one product at two times that price is obviously, a lot more value, and one product at four times the price, and you'll find that, people will actually pay a lot more for the same product, but with bonuses, if you like, bonus information. So that really struck a nerve, but obviously there's quite a lot of work there because you need to create more, more products of value to charge extra money for. So while we were camping, after the kids went to bed at about 7 o'clock, I just got my laptop out, plugged in a wireless broadband dongle, and just got to work creating some software to go with the ebook that would allow me to charge double the price for it. And that was the breakthrough. So I ended up with a $100 product, $200 product, and a $400 product. I found out that actually most people that bought the ebook actually wanted this software, so my average ticket went doubled. And I found that it was actually became a much more desirable product, and my conversions doubled. So, very quickly, my business got a four times boost, which was good because we were getting on the way to replacing my full time income then.
It's really important that when you're looking at your whole product, your funnel, and your clicks and your sales pages and all that, that you consider, okay, how am I maximizing the economics that I could get here? Okay, I'm selling a product for $100, but would people buy something that's related to this for $500 or $1,000?
Yep.
Or even more? If I could deliver them what they want on a silver platter, how much would they pay for the silver platter version?
Yep.
And this is, so you introduced this thinking and you 4X'd your sales, right?
Yeah, it's great. So basically we set off from Sydney to drive down to Adelaide, which is 2,000 k's down the coast. And by the time we got to Adelaide, we'd had a fantastic holiday camping, and my business had multiplied its turnover by four, which was, so we were feeling pretty good about, this is possible. We're still digging into our savings a bit. I hadn't replaced my full-time income, but it made us realize that this really was possible.
So let's pause there for a second. You weren't like floating on billowing clouds at ease at this point. You were still kind of fighting it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we cut back our expenses massively, we weren't earning enough to cover all the bills, but we were getting there, and we could see that we were on an upward trajectory. But again, there's still that gnawing paranoia that, even though I'd 4X my turnover for a couple of months in a row, you think, well, next month will it all turn to dust? Is it really sustainable? Will people keep buying my product?
Right.
Will the world run out of, my sister-in-law kept telling me that, she said, you're going to run out of engineers that need to tune one of these loops, They'll all have bought your book, and then you're going to be in trouble.
Isn't it funny how people say things like that to you?
Yeah.
Like, they're more likely to say that than to say, well, the Australian government is going to run out of tax money and you're going to eventually lose that job working for the research lab, right?
Yeah.
They don't say that.
Yep.
So how did you deal with, okay, your pension pennies and things are thin with your wife? Is your wife upset with you, or is there some strain of...
She's super supportive. She knows that I'm kind of hardwired not to have a full-time job. she understands me, which I think is why we get on so well. So, no, she was very supportive. No, I mean, I've got a confession to make, Perry. When we arrived in Adelaide, it was the week before Christmas, and my wife's due to give birth in 2 months. And we've got two kids under two. And we're living in a tent.
Wow.
A nice tent. In a lovely campsite on the beach. But I think, look, I should get a proper job. So I rang up some recruitment agency in Adelaide and, scouted out the prospects for a full-time job. But thankfully, the global financial crisis had hit engineering in Australia full on and there weren't any jobs going. So I dodged a bullet. So I thought, no, come on, Finn. You're on your way there. You know, your dream of self-sufficiency. You 4x your income before. I'm sure you can, if you can just, I mean, basically I had to double it too and be comfortable. So, I had a good talk with my wife and we said, no, we can do this, man. We can do this. We've got savings in the bank from selling the house. You know, so we had that buffer. You know, we weren't, you know, that would keep us going for a while. If the worst comes to the worst, you can always get a decent paid job because you're a chartered engineer when the recession, finally starts to slack off. So that was it. It was full steam ahead. Let's see, think what we can do to, get the next boost in my business, basically. And that's, luckily I started getting emails from, some bloke called Perry Marshall talking about bobsled run.
So you bit the bullet.
I bit the bullet. I mean, I'd really wanted to do it before, but I hadn't had a business or a product for a couple of years. And I thought, you know what? I've got a business. It's at the bottom end of the income scale for getting on the bobsled run, but I'll apply. And looking at the testimonials, I really think this might be what I need to do to get over the line and have a proper full time income from my own business, yeah.
So, what happened next? Okay, week one, call with the group. Week two, call with your coach. Week three, team action. How did that go?
It was great. I mean, one of the things about being stuck in South Australia, well, it's a nice place to be stuck, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, I'm sure this is very common with a lot of internet entrepreneurs or I like Brian's term actually, Guild of the Chronically Unemployable.
Yeah,
I'm going to get some t-shirts printed and send them around.
I like that. I'm going to write that down. Okay.
It was in one of Brian's blog posts. we're in the Guild of the Chronically Unemployable. I'm going to go on Rent-A-Coder and get a graphic designer to create a crest, probably have a laptop on it and a Google AdWords logo, among other things. It was just so motivating because I've got one friend in Northern Scotland, which is obviously the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And, he's got an internet business and he's doing quite well, which was motivating in itself. But, none of my other friends, certainly no one I know in Australia, kind of really understands what I do. I mean, a lot of them still think that I just sit in my spare bedroom and cruise the internet and slowly eat away at my savings. a lot of my family still think that as well, which is quite funny. Just incredibly motivating, these group calls. It's quite good because they're about 5 a.m. in Australia, so I'd get off the call at about 8 a.m. in the morning, and I'd be absolutely high for the rest of the day. I mean, my wife, she loved it. She said, you come off those calls and you're just like, you're just invigorated. It's interesting. I mean, the details you go to in the bobsled run are brilliant, but at a very high level, we all know what we've got to do to improve our businesses. We've got to optimize our AdWords, get more traffic. We've got to improve conversions. I don't think it's a secret that autoresponders, well implemented, will make a massive difference in your sales. But the calls, as well as, A, you give us the details and tell us where to go to implement this stuff. B, you actually motivated me to actually do it. And C, I had no excuses because if I run into a roadblock, I'd get the one-on-one consulting and that'd get me over it or get me the kick up the ass to, stop procrastinating and stop making excuses and do it. So
that's a really good point because one of the things that I've always gotten from my coaching relationships has really been the elimination of excuses. Because there's always that circuit in your brain. It's probably the same circuit that's afraid of being called a fraud. You know, it's the circuit in your brain that's, that, you know, makes some kind of an excuse for, well, you know, I'd like to do this today, but I really want to do it tomorrow. If you're connected with somebody else who's monitoring your progress, it just has a way of unsludging things and freeing you to, okay, you know, I got to have this done by Tuesday, so I'm going to have it done by Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And it just massively motivated me. So, I mean, I attacked my AdWords campaign. You know, fairly simple peel and stick. That made a huge difference to the traffic I was getting through AdWords. You know, it's a virtuous circle. Your click-through rate goes up, your traffic goes up, your costs go down. The one thing that I had a bunch of keywords that weren't converting very well to a one-time sale. So I implemented an autoresponder. So I sent those guys to an opt-in page. So they signed up to a 7-day course, which, you know, obviously tries to sell them on every email subtly and build a relationship, and goes on for the best part of the year, which is all stuff I learned on the building out the maze call, I think it was. But, you know, you come off these calls and you just realize the possibilities out there, and you realize, you know, the edge you'll have if you implement these things. So implemented those, which, you know, made a big difference to my business. And the other thing that it motivated me to do was I suddenly realized that I had all these tools at my disposal in terms of AdWords. You know, I could be, you know, world-class at AdWords, world-class at conversions. I could implement, you know, my emails aren't brilliant, I don't think, but at least I can implement them. I know what an autoresponder is.
Oh, yeah, you know, you don't have to be a genius to make this work. You just need to do something.
Yeah. And I realized the opportunities out there for me, if I can actually, if I get into a niche that's actually got substantial traffic, are just enormous. Because, you know, my nano niche, you know, will level off at some point because, you know, my website only gets a few hundred visitors a day. So, you know, it gives me, because I've optimized everything to, you know, quite a degree, that's a nice income. But so I made the decision, it was on the first call actually, the AdWords call. I said, right, I'm going to get into a niche that's got loads of competition, got loads of traffic, because from what I've heard on this call, I reckon I can kick everyone's ass. And I'm going to give it a go because, you know, I was just so motivated that I could take on the world and win.
I want to touch on that, but just back up a step. Now, in the bobsled run,
yes,
how much did your business go up?
Well, between January, well, it's interesting because I got an accountant in January because my business, you know, tax and stuff like that. I started thinking I better start paying some tax so I don't get a big tax bill at the end of the year. So I went to an accountant in January when I was doing what I was, my turnover was whatever it was, and got him on board and said, you know, can you do my account and make sure I'm paying enough tax? And he said, yep. And then I went to see him again in July. So bobsled run finished in May, was it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, so I went again to see him in July to finalise my tax return. And he said, oh, hey, Finn, how are you doing? I said, yeah, good. He said, what was last month like? And I basically quadrupled it.
So you 4X'd your income between January and May?
Yes.
That's good.
And, yeah, the guy nearly fell over. He said, but you were doing a quarter of that when you first came to see me. I said, yeah. He said, what did you do? I said, well, I got some coaching and optimized my current business and started a second business. Wow. He said, you just work from home. Let me get this right. He had a vague recollection of our first conversation. He said, you just work from home from your spare bedroom, don't you? I said, yeah, that's right. Just internet stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he was quite impressed.
Most people do not understand what we do, and that is okay. If they did, it would be a lot harder for us to do what we do. wouldn't it?
Not true. So yeah, basically Forex my business up through the Bob sector, which is funny because I only actually implemented probably half of what I was told to implement by you guys. The other interesting thing is the thought of just being on the bobsled run calls this time round. Something switched in my brain, 2 weeks ago, and I got my head down and I've actually implemented the other half of the stuff you guys told me to do, some of which is pretty fundamental. It's quite embarrassing I haven't done it. And I've done an extreme makeover on my website, implemented a new autoresponder. So not all the stuff you guys told me to do the first time around that I hadn't implemented the first time around, and that's already now, and I'm going to switch it on 1st of October, I think. So that'll be interesting to see what that does to conversions. And that was purely the motivational thought of being on the calls. I haven't even been on them yet.
All of us have stuff that is embarrassingly incomplete.
Yeah.
It's not just you. You know, I got stuff like that. And I appreciate the opportunity to put myself in a situation where, okay, this is how I'm going to make sure that this gets done and it gets done right, and that if I get stuck, that somebody's going to help me get unstuck.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. That's how we get these humongous testimonials, is people just roll up their sleeves, get to work, and they're like, okay, this week I'm going to do come heck or high water. And matter of fact, this next bobsled run, which starts on Tuesday, I'm going to add a little thing at the beginning, which is I'm going to tell everybody about four or five things that I do to manage my time so that I don't get consumed with all these other things that eat opportunity.
Yeah.
Because this morning I had a teleseminar with another guy, and he said one of the most helpful ideas that he had was the idea that there's three kinds of work that you do. There's $10 an hour work, and there's $100 an hour work, and there's $1,000 an hour work.
Yep.
And, you know, so there's all kinds of $10 an hour jobs, like emptying the trash and getting office supplies and stuff. There's $100 an hour stuff, which is like if a customer calls and wants to get us some questions answered, and 5 minutes later he places an order or, you know, something like that, that's $100 an hour work. But then there's $1,000 an hour work, and $1,000 an hour work is anything that increases the traffic, the conversion, or the economics of your business. So, like, would you agree that when you hunkered down and you turned your one product into three products with a spread of prices, that was $1,000 an hour work?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Because, my engineering business, until 2 weeks ago, when I realized bobsled run was starting again, I pretty much haven't touched it for a couple of months. I'm an automation engineer, and, I think automating your income is definitely $1,000 an hour work.
Yes, when you work on... When you work on your machine, that is $1,000 an hour work. And the way that we've designed the bobsled run, pretty much everything we cover is $1,000 an hour work.
Yeah.
And so what becomes most important is we're not going to let the $10 an hour jobs eat the $1,000 an hour jobs.
Absolutely.
The $1,000 work becomes the boss. And so we'll actually go through a time management exercise at the beginning of eliminating some things that normally trip people up. Now, I want to get back to what you were starting to say, how you decided, okay, I'm going to expand into another market. So could you explain that?
Basically, I thought what markets are there out there that I know something about? You know, I can kind of speak with some kind of authority. I can create content, engaging content, probably better than most other people can, and that also gets a lot of traffic. Because, you know what, I think it'll be fun to, try and beat the big boys. And I was so convinced I could after just that first bobsled run call. And I mean, the problem was, of course, you know, I didn't have a product. Affiliate marketing, probably isn't my thing. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what it was. I think it was a Glenn Livingston email I got once who talked about, you know, seeing some homeless people on the street and thinking, you know, if you've got an internet connection, you can sell leads. And, you know, if you understand AdWords and you've got an internet connection, you can sell leads. So that's always been in the back of my brain. Can it be that simple? Because you've got an edge on AdWords, you can sell leads to other companies. I thought, no, let's go to this super competitive niche that I actually, you know, find really interesting. Create some engaging content on a website. Create an optimized AdWords campaign. And start selling leads to the big boys. So that's what I started to do.
So how is that business going? And how long has this been going? And give us a little better idea.
I kicked it. I mean, I started working on it on the first week of the bobsled run. It's probably been going 4 months now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how's it doing?
It's now, this September is doing really, really well. I've just signed up two biggest suppliers in my industry in Australia, which is quite good for a guy off right out of his bedroom.
So where is your income percentage-wise compared to what it was in May when you had just done quadrupling your income?
I've basically doubled it again. This is completely up to date now based on, because I calculate it daily, and that invoice at the end of the month, so this month's end, I'll have probably doubled my income in September from what it was in August.
Very good. Very good. So,
that's with only one of my new clients paying. The next client starts paying in a couple of weeks. So, and I think that will probably, there'll be another step change next month as well, probably. Fingers crossed. Things can always go wrong, but, you know, it's looking pretty rosy.
Finn, would it be fair to say that you have now begun to taste how scalable an internet business can get?
Yeah. The analogy I use, I was talking to my wife about this. I said, so I have the engineering business, and that's great. That ticks along, and it's a nice, respectable income. And then I started this second business, and I said to my wife, and I started generating an income, you know, and started growing every month. So I was still getting the income from the engineering business. I said to my wife, I said, it's like you apply for a new job, you get the new job, they start paying you a salary, but you don't have to give up your previous salary.
That's right. That's right. It's the whole multiple streams of income concept.
It's an absolute eye-opener. Why don't they teach this stuff at school? I really don't know.
Well, I'm just glad they don't. You know, that's all I could say. Yeah, because, I mean, I have products that I haven't touched in 2 or 3 years that are still selling every week, every month. I get more sales. And that funds other newer things that I'm doing. And, you know, we continue to expand. And there's just a lot of nice things you can do in your life when you have that much flexibility.
Well, you see, my entire career I've been told that if you want to start a business, you've got to go into debt. And you've got to, you know, if you want to start a serious business, you've got to actually give away part of the company to other people. And they have, you know, so they get equity in exchange for their money. And, you know, I've made quite a substantial investment in my new business in automating the back end, you know, putting the website up, marketing, you know, the AdWords bill's pretty scary. and it's all funded out of cash flow, and that's so liberating. So liberating.
I love stories like this. They make my day. I think that what we do here is really important. And, you know, there's a lot of people there, you know, they're like Sunday night rolls around and they're antsy and they're depressed and they kind of feel this vague sense of dread because, well, tomorrow's Monday morning and I have to drag myself out of bed and I have to go walk into that building again and I have to deal with those people again. You know, and I'm tired, in a, you know, it just, it gives, they get ulcers, they're on antidepressants, they're grumpy, they're kicking their dog or whatever. He says they're not doing what they want to do. You know, and they're working for people who are covering up their own insecurities with this corporate nonsense image that they, you know, that they, this front they put on for everybody, right?
That's right.
And it just gets so tiresome. Like, would you just cut through the BS and be a real human being?
It's bad for the soul, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through that, in, you know, corporate sales, forced to put on a shirt and tie and be someone I wasn't. And it's just completely unsustainable. And bad for my soul, man. Bad for my soul. Yeah, I agree.
So I feel it's very important that what we do is we give people steps to run on where, you know, we define this $500,000 an hour value work and we create a safe zone during a 12-week period of time where you can do that stuff and you can get the guidance that you want. And, you know, I love coaching people. I love that process of tearing into it, figuring out, okay, where is the real hidden value? Where is the gold in this business? Like you and I had a conversation maybe 2 months ago or something, and we were talking about your lead generation business. And it seems like I recall us having a conversation about, how you could flip these kind of undecided big players from, well, maybe I want to, maybe I don't, to, oh, yeah, I definitely want to throw my hat. Am I remembering that?
Yep.
Correctly? How did that help you? What happened as a result of that?
Well, cut a long story short, I've signed up the two biggest players in Australia.
And you were basically choosing.
Yeah, that's right.
I could have picked the third or fourth one, but you picked the first and second one.
Yeah, and I've got some states I've got to turn people away now. But sorry, guys, I'm full. I'll put you on the waiting list.
And that is the position that I think every business owner wants to be in. You want to be in the position of being the person that controls the deal.
And as soon as you're not desperate, I mean, this is Ari Galper teaches this. I think as soon as you're not desperate for the guy's business, your conversions shoot up.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's so counterintuitive. It just becomes easier and easier.
When you have enough deal flow and you know that, you know, regardless of what these people say today, you know, when I come into work tomorrow, I'm going to have these 10 more sales leads or these 10 more potential customers. You're just able to relax. You're able to be yourself. You're not chasing money. And that's why we have hundreds of bobsled run success stories now. I mean, we have all these testimonials on our website. If you go to bobsledrun.com and you scroll down, you'll see a bunch of links, and you can go through and you can just find pages and pages and pages of testimonials, and they're just real We have contests in the bobsled run, and to enter the contest, you just need to document your progress, and people get to the end, and that's what you did, right? I mean, you documented your progress, and you said, hey, you know, I'm 4X from what I was in January, and I got this other side of my business that's now coming on.
Yep.
So we like that. And,
right.
And you know, Brian and I have really been putting our heads together, and we've been saying, what can we do to make this thing as state-of-the-art as we can? I think we put it together correctly in the beginning. It's always had some of the same essential elements, but we decided to add some modules. And so this time around, we have 5 modules that were people can choose one. And so one module is affiliate marketing. If you're an affiliate and you're playing that game, then we will have a track for affiliates, and we'll put you in a team action group with other affiliates. Another track is information marketing. If you're a person who sells information, like what Finn does, you know, with his engineering books, then we'll have a group for that. If you sell physical products, we have a group for that. If you sell business to business or something technical, we have a group for that. And if you have a special interest in copywriting, we will have a group for that. So you can pick one of these 5 groups and you can be in it. And I also want to state, we have this guarantee. And the guarantee is, if you do the assignments that you're given every week and you document your progress, that by the end of the 12 weeks, you will have recouped your tuition back from either cost savings or increased sales, or you can ask us for your money back at the end of the bobsled run. And so the bobsled run pays for itself. And the second thing is we also guarantee that if you document your progress, if you do the assignments, 1 year from now, that in your own judgment, you will have made $25,000 more than you thought you had would have made, or you can ask for your money back. So you can do that a year from now. All you have to do is document what you did and that you did it, and show us the results. And, you know, if you didn't get what you were shooting for, then we'll give you a refund. And so we really believe in this. And, you know, I love coaching. It's a talent that I have, but, you know, the downside, there's only so many seats that we have available. Like my 4-man intensives, I can only take 4 people, and so we're aggressively selling this between now and next Tuesday morning when the thing starts. And so I just want to encourage you to go to bobsledrun.com and register. It starts with an application. We won't just take your money. There's a $100 application, refundable if not accepted, but we want to know that you're serious. And we only accept students that we really think we can help, we really think can make the progress that that is in our guarantee. So I believe that coaching is the fastest way to get from point A to point B in your business. That's my belief. Finn, is there anything that you would say to somebody who's on the fence about this?
I think one of the things I've only just recently realized is most of the guys I've met who are successful online are actually quite risk averse. And, you know, they make very calculated. I mean, they might take risks, but they're very calculated.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things. That's definitely one of the things you teach. I mean, A, you take the risk out of it with a guarantee, which is pretty brave of you guys. And D, the way you teach it is, you know, don't start throwing your money into the AdWords pit until you've, you know, proven you can make $1 or, you know, proven that you convert on a certain keyword.
We teach a healthy amount of paranoia.
Yeah.
You know, we're not into just, you know, throwing money at stuff. I don't believe in that.
But, I mean, I think it's about the lowest risk way you can build a business that I've certainly come across. And it's only really just become apparent to me recently that, you know, most of the successful guys, you know, there's this stereotype of the entrepreneur as a huge risk taker. You know, most people have got a backup plan, and, you know, most of the guys are spending a small bit of money to prove, you know, to gain the confidence to spend the larger sums of money. And the whole bobsled run is that's the philosophy, I think. So it's pretty low risk option, really.
I think most people can figure this out without risking any more than they really can afford to. I mean, you make small tests and you evaluate things, and then you make larger investments, and then you only go forward with after that if it's continuing to pay off. So I think entrepreneurs are not like wild-eyed. It's not gambling.
No.
Not by any stretch. The time window is fast closing on this, and I just want to encourage you to apply for a spot in this bobsled run, which starts on Tuesday. Do it fast. And Finn, I want to thank you for being here. I just really appreciate you telling your story and, you know, taking a risk. You know, being camping your way through Australia and growing an online business and rolling the dice and going, okay, I'm gonna invest in some education here. I really admire that.
And if it doesn't work, you know, I could have gone back and been an engineer again.
Hey, you know, I used to have a boss who would always say, look, I could always get a job at Allen Bradley, you know, which was a company, you know, that was in our business. I was like, well, he could always do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he possibly could, he was going to do his own thing. And, of course, he did. And, you know, when I realized that the worst thing that could ever happen to me was I just have to go back and get a job for a few months until I could reorient myself, well, hey, you know, we can deal with that. So, well, Finn, really good. Congratulations. Very proud of your progress. You've done a great job with this, and I just commend your efforts and, you know, look forward to hearing about business number 3 and business number 4 and all of that.
I've decided I'm gonna 3 streams of income, and maybe I'll feel pretty secure, I reckon.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Go to bobsledrun.com, put in your application, and we will see you on the Tuesday morning call at 8 a.m., okay?
Cool.
See y'all. Thank you, Finn.
Thanks, Terry. Speak to you later.
Bye now.